Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. I was a wayward child. I did not love my home. I did not love my father's voice. I loved afar to roam. Reading today from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoso shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of these words and become hearers and doers of them. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, he who is the way, the truth, and the life. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with thee, humbling himself, took on him the form of a man, went to the death of the cross. Wherefore thou hast highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at his name, even thy name, Lord Jesus, every knee shall bow. We pray that thou wilt make us to bow it now, that it will not be the first time on the day of judgment, that we might be brought no more as a wandering sheep, but brought by thee back to the fold, back to the Father in repentance, and to thyself, Lord Jesus, in faith. We pray this for the church to be revived. We pray for the world to be awakened. We pray that more laborers might be called and sent to every nation, tongue, and tribe, which has not yet heard the word, that all the ends of the earth may soon hear and fear and turn unto thee. We pray also, Father, for our individual nations and the leaders in them, that thou wilt put thy fear in all of our hearts once again, that we might have the beginning of wisdom. We fear it is true of us now, as Paul could say to the church at Rome, there is no fear of thee before their eyes. And we are fast falling into that, both our nation here and other nations as well. And we pray that there might be an awakening, reviving, that truth again may be known, and particularly that soon the gospel may be preached to every creature. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs of those in sickness, homelessness, hunger, war-torn lands, the persecuted, those suffering in other ways, the broken homes, the children in those homes, the schools that need again to teach thy word and thy truth. We pray for all these blessings, Father, to be given, but first of all, that we might seek thy kingdom and thy righteousness with the promise that all these things will be added for thy glory and our present and eternal good through Christ. Amen. As we look at these words here, given by the Lord Jesus while he was here on earth, words that, as we saw the last 2 weeks, were not being fulfilled in Judah and in Jerusalem in the time of Jeremiah, even though the people there cried out, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is this. It was no longer God's temple. No longer that people worshipped in spirit and in truth. And it was not too long after that wonderful, beautiful temple was burnt, destroyed, along with all the great houses in Jerusalem, much damage in other ways as well. The walls broken down, the city literally left empty. Many died, and others were carried away captive. We sometimes say history repeats itself, and certainly we are repeating what Jeremiah warned against, especially when, as we read from Jeremiah 23, of those that came in lightness and lies, and of which God said they shall not profit the people at all. Here we have, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot. We must have the word of God if we are to have and to be the salt of the earth. and how we have lost that, how we are losing it in our nation. Less and less people in our nation are professing to believe in God. The number is getting greater. Just read in our local paper that 23% of our people now profess no religion. And I see it locally. I read articles where people say, I don't need religion to be happy. They also think we don't need religion to be right with God or with our fellow men. It is sadly increasing. Back to 1972, there was only 5% of our people that professed no religion. And then for a time, it seemed even to get better through the 70s, through the 80s. And then from then on, it has waxed worse and worse. And we have become, in this nation, a so-called Christian nation, a salt that lost its savor for the rest of the world and among ourselves as well. It's telling in our homes. They have become worse and worse. Through the years, a larger percentage of homes that were married were broken, divorced, separated, leaving children in a terrible strait. And here is the answer. But when the answer is gone, there is no answer. There is no help. If the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. We hear much of what goes on in our nation. This group, that group, other groups, all vying for a place to be heard, to be willing to be followed and led, but we hear very little of the church. Very little that thus saith the Lord. Very little of, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Churches and schools are denying the history of creation. And it is a history spoken of in God's Word. God's Word is a history book. The only true history book, not changed. Other history books are being changed. And those in history, sometimes, sadly, of our country, the better ones are being vilified and no longer recognized. Our forefathers that came here in the 1620s, our forefathers who came to other areas of our country later, as in this area in the 1800s, they came here. As one asked, whence came they? And the answer, out of sore persecution, out of a revival. In the revival, they were persecuted and often not given place of work. And then they came here for freedom and were blessed and left a blessing for us that we have turned away from and are no longer, as they were, a salt. If we are a salt, it leads into an understanding, as Christ said a little bit further in this message, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Destroy the law. We only will recognize the law rightly when we'll recognize God as our creator. We will then realize that, as Paul said to the Athenians, it is in him that you live and move and have your being. We have to realize that. Moses said much the same. If we go to Psalm 90, Moses wrote, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as they sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and the evening it is cut down and withereth. That's life. We know it for those that are gone. It is true. It's proved itself. But do we know it for ourselves? Do we know it as true for today and tomorrow and the few days that we have left in our life? Will we recognize God as our Creator and that He has placed us on this earth, male and female, for His glory? We have been created for that. Nature testifies of the Godhead and it gives glory to God, all of nature, but not mankind. We have to sadly say, as we have sung, I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. It is a voice of truth. It is a voice of light. The psalmist said, Thy word is a light on my path. The Lord Jesus said, when Nicodemus was visiting him, Everyone that does evil hates the light. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. It is only when we come to know Him that we can be a reflection of what Christ is saying here. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Shortly before He died, He told the apostles, and it's recorded for us by John, John 15, where He states, I am the vine, you are the branches. And that very plain statement, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing good, no light, only love, darkness. We will not be the salt of the earth. And we have well nigh come there. It is said that the broken homes are about as many in the church as in the world. We're not making the difference. We are not a salt to the rest of the world. Many other areas that we do not recognize sin. We are with the world, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Much more excitement and games of sport and much more interest than in the things of the Lord. Then we are wandering sheep, but there's an answer from God. The shepherd sought his sheep. The father sought his child. He followed me o'er vale and hill, o'er deserts waste and wild. He found me nigh to death, famished and faint and lone. He bound me with the bands of love. He saved the wandering one. Yes, He finds us nigh to death. He finds us having earned the wages of sin, which is death. What a wonder it hasn't come. What a wonder it didn't come to me long ago. I earned those wages early in life. So did you, all of us. Some were rewarded those wages in the early years, and others have been left, as myself and some of you, having many years. But it's still short. It's still as the flower flourishes in the morning and the evening is cut down. And we have to realize that though our life may be longer in comparison to others, it is very, very short in comparison to eternity. We don't seem to rightly realize it. We do know the past went fast. But do we know that the future is also going to go equally fast? And that our day of judgment will soon be here for every one of us, the younger as well as the older. And we are commanded now to repent, to believe, to find our hope in coming back to God through Christ and learning from His law what He has commanded in the first place. The law tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. We also sometimes think of the law as including the whole Word of God, and even as well the gospel, as Paul could write to the church at Rome and state, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The gospel itself, witnessed by the law, by the word of God. And I believe that's all included when Christ says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And then the wonderful way he does that, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Believeth. When we first look at these words, we should know that we are not the salt. We have not been, and we can only come. Again, as the third verse of the song states, "Jesus my shepherd is. 'Twas he that loved my soul. 'Twas he that washed me in his blood. 'Twas he that made me whole. 'Twas he that sought the lost, that found the wandering sheep. 'Twas he that brought me to the fold. 'Tis he that still doth keep." Unless that does take place, we will never be the salt. We will never be the light. And even then, there is a great difference. When Christ describes the parable of the sower, he describes three kinds that come short of the glory of God: the right way of salvation, the wayside hearer, the shallow ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer. But then even when he describes the good ground hearer, he describes three different amounts of fruit that's brought forth: 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100. And if we're sadly in the 30-fold, as I'm afraid we are too much in our day, the church is not bringing forth fruit as it should. It's not preaching the gospel to every creature. It's not calling the rest of the nation to repentance, leaders and people. Yes, leaders as well as people. First of all, to pray for those in authority, as Paul said to Timothy, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. And as he also stated there, pray to God who would have all men to be saved, those in high places as well as low, those that are up and out as well as those down and out. All need to be saved if we are to be the salt. And as soon as we are saved, we will be the salt. David said, "I was in a horrible pit, in the miry clay." He prayed to the Lord. He heard his voice. He took him out. He set his feet upon a rock and put a new song in his mouth, even praise to God. He says, "Many shall hear and fear and turn unto the Lord." He then became a salt. He became a light, even having a new song, but also in many other ways. And all of us must have that. As we saw last week, Jeremiah was the salt. And God gave him warning that he had to separate the precious from the vile. We also see that the salt can be hated. As Christ said also in that same context, just before he died, he said, "If they have hated me, they'll hate you." And that is true. They did, sadly, hate Christ, I and others. And we have recognized that hatred of both Christ and his word, the light, the law, the gospel. We hate it all. We may not recognize it until the Spirit comes and opens our heart to the truth. But when Christ said that, it is true of us as well as of others. Everyone that does evil hates the light. Just before that he stated, "Men love darkness rather than light." A little bit more of a mild statement. But that other statement, hate the light. And it's true. I had to come to realize it. We may think we love a Savior that's like us, that accepts us in our works. Then we will be one with him. But he will not accept us in our works. He tells us plainly by the pen of the psalmist, through Paul, his witness, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh God." That's where we are naturally. And that's why we have to have what Christ said earlier to Nicodemus, in the same context, the same night. except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We don't see that which is his kingdom, the glorious kingdom, the wonderful kingdom of righteousness, the ways that he says are higher than our ways, and thoughts higher than our thoughts, even as the heavens are higher than the earth. Do we believe that? The scripture states it. It's plain. It's true. And when he does give us the new birth, when he does quicken us or make us alive in Christ, he can bring us to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, Christ Jesus, who is here speaking, telling us we can become the salt. You are the salt. But the warning, all through Scripture, we see that warning. Churches that began were warned. The Corinthians were warned. Even the church at Rome was warned. Paul wrote to them, it's high time to wake out of sleep. The church at Ephesus was warned by Paul. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Later, the Lord Jesus himself warned that same church through the pen of John and said, you've left your first love. You're in danger of no longer being a salt and a light. Repent, or I'll remove the candlestick, which means he'll remove the spirit. The Great Awakening, the time of Jonathan Edwards, the people actually feared that the spirit was gone. They were so given over to corrupt doctrine, wrong doctrine, trusting in their works, trusting in their own ways instead of the way of God in Christ. As Paul said also to the Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith, saved by believing in another, saved by faith that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, many do boast that they did this, they did that. But we have one hope only, what Christ did on the cross, shedding his blood, then in the resurrection, that we can have that death for our sin. And we can say like Paul, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul knew how he needed that to be a salt, to be a light. He even said, I have not yet attained for that which I've been apprehended. Paul, in his later life, still felt his weakness, knew his need of the resurrection of Christ in him, for him, and so do we. How we need to return to it in repentance, that we have left the way of Christ, and we have become a soul that have lost its savor, and are in danger of being good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. We talk about persecution, but do we know the danger of being not recognized in this nation and other churches in the world? Other countries that have had much of the gospel in the past, today have so little and have less people in religion than even our nation. Our nation still, as I read, 23% no religion. The rest give some profession, but much of it is the salt that have lost its savor. Oh, how we need that salt in our individual lives, in the home, in the church, and then only can it be in the nation through Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.